Awesome, awesome. Just want to thank the Lord that we're able to come back this morning and in His presence. The Bible says, in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy, and on His right-hand side, there are pleasures forevermore. I want us to prepare our hearts this morning as we go straight into the Word. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You for the entrance of Your Word. We thank You that this morning we can come into Your presence. Heavenly Father, we commit our lives into Your hands, and we pray that this day You would speak to each and every one of us. I pray for everyone watching from the comfort of their homes today, that Lord, You would meet them at their points of need. I pray that this word would bear much fruit. This word would stir them up and give them courage and strength for this coming season. So, Father, we thank You and we honor You this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen. And everybody said, amen. Great. Let's go to the Word of God. Open with me in the book of 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. We're going to go into the Word, and I believe the Lord is going to minister and speak to us this morning. This was the disciple who was loved by Jesus, the beloved of Jesus, the one whom Jesus loved, the one who loved Jesus so much. From time to time, John was found lying on Jesus' chest, showing just how close they were. And so here is the Apostle John writing, and he says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves Him, who begets, also loves Him who has been born of Him. In simple English is this: everyone who loves the one who gives birth also loves to that which has been born, okay? So if you love the one that gives birth, you love that which was born as well. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God, whenever we love God and keep His commandments. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. His commandments are not burdensome. Verse 4, for everything that is born of God overcomes the world. Everything that is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Other version says, even our faith. Verse 5, who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? May the Lord bless the reading of His word. Amen. Now, what a start to the year 2021. This start has been a challenging start to any year. You know, it looked like whatever started in 2020 continued with us into 2021. And I must say that as a pastor, you are so close to the lives of people, and you get to share in people's grieving moments, in people's celebrations and rejoicings. And to some extent, all of that happens in the space of 1 hour. You'd find that you'll get a call, you know, somebody is grieving, something has happened to them. And then at the end of that call, in another 20, 30 minutes, you get a call, somebody is celebrating about what God would have done in their lives. And I can tell you, this up and down in life can really leave you in a stressed mode. And I sense a lot of people are in that state today, and I believe the Lord wants to minister to someone who is in that situation right now. And I must say, by all accounts, the year started on a challenging note. When you look at just how the number of the COVID cases, how much they've come up from day to day, you tend to ask yourself, where to from here? What are we going to do with our lives? This morning, I found myself praying, and I was saying to the Lord, may this plague abate. Lord, may this plague abate. And I want you to know, when the people who are called by the name of God rise up and pray, things change. Glory be to God. I want you not to minimize the power of prayer, because when we pray, things change and they happen in the spiritual realm. Glory be to God. Now, it is important that you become so real to where you are. It is important that you are brutally honest with yourself about what's going on inside of you, about what's happening inside of you. And I want you to know, one of the tools that we have as human beings is the ability to be self-aware. Self-awareness is such a key tool for any child of God, for any person, if you are to make progress into the future. The reason why I'm saying it's important for you to be brutally honest about where you are is this. With every honest analysis of where you are, comes with it the possibilities of a new beginning. With every honest analysis of where you are, comes with it the possibilities of a new beginning. Why am I saying this? When you know that you are in pain and you are tired of being in pain, you come to a place where you say, I'm going to look for a solution to this pain. Come on now. You say to yourself, I'm done. I'm not going to stay here. I will do something about my situation. It reminds me of the lepers who are around the Samaritan city. The Bible says they looked at themselves and they said, if we stay here, we're going to die. We might as well die trying something. It is because they did an assessment of where they are and they realized, you know what, there's no hope here. We've got to do something for us to have a different outcome. And this morning, I want to challenge you to be honest about where you are. You see, when you've been through a successful season in your life, you've got to start asking yourself, how do I sustain this success that I've experienced? You've got to say, who do I need to get to into my life, into my space? What do I need to tweak around me in order to ensure that my success is not seen as a fluke? You don't want people to look at you as a fly by night. So that is why it's important for you to be so real about where you are. You see, now this brings me to the title of our series that we're going to be going through for the coming 6 weeks. So for the coming 6 weeks, we'll be talking on the subject matter, destined to overcome. Destined to overcome. I believe with all my heart that this series is going to stir up so much hope and so much faith in people's lives. We need so much hope in this season. We need to realize that tomorrow is going to be better than today. And you know why? It is possible to feel desperate. And when you are in a desperate place, you can lose sight of where you're going. You can lose sight of the future. You can lose sight of the very promises of God for you. But this morning, the Lord is saying, regardless of where you are today, regardless of your current circumstances, you are destined to overcome. Hallelujah. You are destined to overcome. The situation is not going to end the way it looks like right now. I was speaking to a friend of mine who is in Cape Town now, and he said, you know what? The beginning of 2020 wasn't great. 2020 was not great. But as the year went by, I finished 2020 on a high. Hello, somebody. That was a testimony that was worth hearing. He said, the year did not start well, but I ended the year on a high. That is why I want to say to somebody this morning, it's not about where you are now. You're just passing through. Glory be to God. Your end will be great. Maybe today you're grieving the loss of a beloved. Maybe you're grieving the loss of somebody who was so close to you. Somebody said on Facebook, he said, what used to be a distant statistic has become too close of a statistic. Because the people we are counting are people that are very much in our sphere. It used to be 300 people down the road somewhere, you know, you don't even know. But now it's your neighbor who's been affected by the coronavirus. Now it's your neighbor who has just lost their job. Now this thing is getting too close to home that we need to change the way we look at life. Hallelujah. Now, you might not have lost a beloved one, but you lost your source of income. And the reality of the matter is that when you lose your source of income, something happens within you. There's something that shifts inside of you. You need to be able to look somewhere outside of you to remain hopeful for tomorrow. Somebody says you cannot solve a problem at the same level where it was created. Hello, somebody. You cannot solve a problem at the same level that it was created. So you cannot solve your own problems. You need to look outside of you in order to resolve your issues. Hello, somebody? And I believe today I've got a word for somebody who is watching from home. Your end is going to be great. Why am I saying that? I'm reminded of a conversation that happened to two of the greatest women, I'd say, the mother of John the Baptist and the mother of Jesus, Elizabeth and Mary. The two women were talking, they were meeting after they had had word about the children that they were carrying in their wombs. So Mary had an encounter with an angel, and she went up and she visited Elizabeth. And as she was talking to Elizabeth, something happened to Elizabeth. The Bible says Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And the baby who was in the womb of Elizabeth jumped with joy. John almost said, I have encountered my master, the one who had not been born yet. Now, as Mary and Elizabeth were communing, as Mary and Elizabeth were talking, this is what Elizabeth said to Mary. Luke chapter 1 verse 45. She said, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Hallelujah. There shall be a performance of those things that were told of her by the Lord. And I want to say to you this morning, there shall be a performance of that which was said to you by the Lord. There shall be a performance of that which was written about you in the word. Glory be to God. So you need to look outside of you and look at the one that speaks into your situation. Glory be to God. Now let's dig deeper into this matter. What does it mean to be destined? We're going to be talking about destined to overcome. What does it mean when we say, man, you are destined to win? You are destined to overcome? You were destined to be a doctor because we saw it when you were born. We saw it, what excited you as you were growing up. You see, that word to be destined means that the thing is certain to happen or be done. When something is destined, that thing is certain that it will happen. When something is destined, it is something that is meant to happen. I've met couples, and you look at them and you say, you guys were destined to be together. You were destined to be together, meaning it was meant to happen. All right? If something is destined, is you are confined to a predetermined end. You know how it is when you watch a replay or a delayed match. You know that the Proteas are playing against Sri Lanka and you know the end result. You know that they're going to win 2-0 in the series. So even when they go through a dip along the series, you're not worried. You don't panic. Why? You know the results. I want to say to somebody today, your life might be in a dip, but your end is predetermined before time. Your end has been determined by something bigger than you. So that's why I like watching delayed matches. Because I don't have this high blood pressure that rises up because, they're going to lose. No, I know the end. The end is going to be good. So that is what it means to be destined. Now, what does it mean to overcome, to conquer, to defeat, to overthrow, to subdue? What does it mean? It means to succeed in dealing with a problem. So when you overcome, you are successful in dealing with the problems at work. You are successful in dealing with the children that God has given you. You are successful in managing the business that God has given you. To overcome means you successfully gain control of a difficult situation. You might be having a very difficult situation right now. I want you to know that there is a coming a season that you say, I overcame, glory be to God, where you say, I conquered, where you say, I subdued it, I overthrew the situation, glory be to God. It means you get the better of a competition. You get the better of somebody. Now, when you put these things together, you realize that those who are destined to overcome, it means winning is certain. and that you are confined to a predetermined end called victorious. Hallelujah. You are confined to a predetermined end that is called victorious. And I want to encourage somebody this morning as we start 2021. I want us to talk differently. Everybody is gloomy, everybody is looking down, everybody is concerned that we might be brought back into a hard lockdown. And because of that, you're thinking, you know, my business was having green shoots. My business was showing that there is some hope. But if you go back into level 4, level 5, it kills every hope that I had. But this morning, I want to say to you, you are born out of a different person. You are born out of God. Glory be to God. So where we've read, the Bible says in 1 John 5 verse 4, for everything that has been born of God overcomes the world. Hallelujah. I want that to sink in your spirit, man, in your soul. Let it change the way you look at your world. Everything that is born of God overcomes the world. If you are born of God, there is a guarantee. Your end has been predetermined before you started the journey, and that end is overcoming. Now, let's look at this. Number one, how do we know that you are destined to overcome? Number one, you are destined to overcome because Jesus overcame on your behalf. I just pray that somebody, a believer, a child of God out there, would understand this, that you are destined to overcome because Jesus overcame on your behalf. This is what is at the center of what we call the doctrine of substitution. The doctrine of substitution in Christianity, it refers to a formal method or process that enables mankind to be restored back to God. And I want you to know that in man, there was no capacity that could enable us to be restored with God. And that is why Jesus came and he became our substitute. Jesus came and he took our place. And this morning, I want you to understand your ability to overcome has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with one who took your place. Jesus came. And he took our position. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, he was made sin. You see, he was made sin, him who knew no sin. All right? He was made sin so that us who knew sin might be made into the righteousness of God. Now, look at John 16. In John 16, this was a period where Jesus was busy preparing his disciples for the end. Jesus was in a state where he was caught between earth and heaven at that point. He was preparing his emotions and he knew the end was not going to be great in the sight of a physical human being. And he was preparing his disciples for the ultimate. And I want to talk to somebody today. That we need to talk like Jesus. We need to align ourselves with the talk that Jesus did with his disciples. So John 16 verse 33, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. I have told you these things so that in me, you might have peace. Why? In this world, you will have trouble. But take courage. Other version says, be of good courage. Take heart. Why? I have overcome the world. Glory be to God. John comes and says, that which is born of God overcomes the world. And Jesus was setting the scene of the life of the disciples. And he said to them, I have told you these things, so that in me you might have peace. And I want you to know that things will happen that can remove peace from you. The reason why Jesus was telling his disciples, he knew that the type of death he was going to experience had possibilities of removing peace from them. And guess what? It happened. And this morning, I want to talk to you if you are in that place of dispeace. If you are in that place where you are questioning even the essence of God in your life, do you know that you can go through such a tough season in your life that you question whether God is for real, whether God is for you? But I thank God because Jesus gave us an answer. And he says in verse 33, in this world you shall have trouble. In this world you will have pains. In this world you'll be betrayed. In this world people will call you names. But I want you to realize that I overcame the world. That's what Jesus was saying. So listen to me. It is not your effort that guarantees your victory. It is the finished works of Calvary. It is not your works that guarantees victory, but it is the finished works of Calvary that has secured victory for you. The Bible says a horse might be ready for war, the chariots might be ready for war, but victory comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. So this morning I want you to realize that you need to put effort, but it's not your effort that guarantees victory. When we put effort, we have Jehovah around us who ensures that our effort will yield the correct results. There are people that have put so much effort, but they don't get the results. Hallelujah. Now, when you look at the Bible, you'd find that this picture of life is painted very clear for you to understand that you have somebody bigger than you. There's a story in the book of 2 Chronicles. King Jehoshaphat was fighting the kings of Moabite. And the Bible tells us that three kings came against Jehoshaphat and the people of God. And Jehoshaphat looked at the vast armies before him. And he said to himself, there is no way I can overcome this. There is no way we can have victory. And there was a prophet among them. And they said, let's fast. Let's seek God. Child of God, some of the issues you are going through need you to up your game, need you to up your spiritual temperature for you to tap into a different level in the spiritual realm. Glory be to God. When they did that, the prophet came back, and we find this conversation in verse 15 of 2 Chronicles 20. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. You see, when God speaks into your situation changes. When God speaks to you, when God has a word concerning where you are, your situation cannot remain the same way. So he said here, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. Why? For the battle is not yours, but God's. Glory be to God. Some family tonight needs to sit around the table and make this prayer and say, for the battle is the Lord's. Glory be to God. As somebody who is married, somebody who is in a relationship, you need to come around people and say, for the battle is the Lord's. Glory be to God. When you do that, you hide behind the Lord. He takes his rightful place in your life. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, this was Moses giving talk to the children of Israel before crossing into the promised land. And he was busy preparing them. And this morning I see the Lord preparing the armies, preparing a family, preparing an individual about where they're going. And this is what Moses said. When you go out to battle against your enemies, and you see horses and chariots, a people more than you, do not be afraid of them. When you go out and you have sent out your CV is lightweight compared to other participants. The Bible says, do not be afraid. Glory be to God. When you have been trying to have a child so many times, you've got to keep on trying. Why? The battle is not yours, and do not be afraid. Hallelujah. When they're about to write letters of retrenchment, God is saying, do not be afraid. You might be retrenched, but that's not the end. Hallelujah. Sometimes we think that, well, if God was with me, I should not have been retrenched. If God was with me, I should have been promoted. If God was with me, I should not have fallen sick. But the Bible says when you face your enemies, do not be afraid. Why? For Jehovah your God is with you. The shout of the king is in our midst. Glory be to God. For Jehovah our God is with you, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Verse 4. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies. To do what? To give you victory. The Lord goes with you. He promised that he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Even in the moment where there's no food in the fridge, when you open, there's one apple. Hello, somebody? But he says, even in that state, I am with you. Romans 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? This word is to stir somebody's faith. This word is to encourage somebody to say you are destined to overcome. 1 John 4, verse 4. John the apostle said, you little children are from God and have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We need to go back to those scriptures that we were taught back in the days. Meditate upon them and you ask the Holy Spirit, what does it mean when you say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world? Who is he that is in the world? Hello, somebody. Who is he that is in the world? You see, going through difficult seasons does not mean your end will be disastrous. This is one thing that believers don't get. When you go through a rainy day, it doesn't mean your entire life will be raining. You see, sometimes we think God has just forgotten about me. You see, God never promised only sunny days without rain. But Jesus said in John 16, in this world you shall have rainy seasons. But be of good cheer, because even during the rainy season, I will provide shelter for you. Glory be to God. Going through difficult seasons does not mean your end will be disastrous. You need to get hold of the promises of God. Proverbs 24, verse 16, the Bible says, though a righteous man may fall 7 times, he will still get up. That 7 times, we're not just counting 7 natural ways. We are talking about you're going to fall so many times, but you will still get up. Glory be to God. The issue is not whether you're going to be hit down. The issue is, are you going to get up after you've hit the deck? I want to challenge somebody today to have a paradigm shift. Glory be to God. That even when you go through your difficult times, your end will still be great. The Bible says in Psalms 37, verse 24, though he falls, he will not be overwhelmed. Why? For the Lord is holding his hand. Can you sense the Lord holding your hand in the storm? Can you sense the voice of the Lord in the middle of the noise? Can you sense the embrace of the Lord when you feel rejected? There's something that we need to have in our hearts. It is assurance of the presence of God whenever we go through situations. Micah 7 verse 8 says, do not gloat over me, my enemy. Don't laugh at me. Don't throw a party because things are not going well for me. Though I have fallen, I will arise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord is my light. Hallelujah. Do you know that there are people who thrive when they hear other people not doing well? It's as if it adds value to them. And this morning I want you to know, even though you might have those kind of people, the Bible says you will arise. You will rise up from the ashes. He will turn your mourning into dancing, your sorrows into joy. Glory be to God. Destined to overcome. Destined to overcome. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7. The Bible says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. This is our body, earthen vessels. So that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. In every way, having been troubled, but not having been hemmed in. Having been perplexed, but not utterly at loss. Having been persecuted, but not having been forsaken. Having been thrown down, but not having been destroyed. That is why I'm saying to somebody today, you might be persecuted, but you're not forsaken. Hello, somebody. You might be troubled, but you're not hemmed in to a place where you can't move. You are destined to overcome. Let's look at the last point. The reason why you are destined to overcome is victory is certain because your problems are not unique. Hello, somebody. My problems are not unique. They might take different shapes and sizes, but your problems are not new, if I can say that to you. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9, what has been will be again. Viruses were there in 1982. We've got it today. Influenza, when it started, it was wiping people out. Whenever you'd sneeze, they would say, bless you. Why? Because you're humble. You're going. It was because there was no vaccination. Polio was there and people would die. And now Africa has been declared free of polio because of medication. So what was will be again, I want to say to you today. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. So whatever you are experiencing, child of God, even the Apostle Peter addresses it. He says, when you go through difficult times, don't think that there's something strange about you, because your brothers across the world are going through the same issues. Are you going through marital problems? Welcome to the world of the married. Hello? We've got to deal with it. That's why David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Hello? What you are going through is not unique to you. Well, I'm not being sensitive to what we are going through. I'm just trying to create a perspective that will help us to realize that there was a solution to your problem before. Somebody went through what you're going through right now, and Jesus stood and said, be set free. Hallelujah. If you're facing sickness in your body, you have come to the King of Glory who was struck, who was wounded for our transgressions. And by his stripes, we are healed. Glory be to God. When he was here on earth, recorded miracles of healing are more than 31 in the Gospels. There are more than 31 miracles of healings in the Gospels. And the Apostle John says, you see, we haven't covered everything that Jesus did, because if we would, there wouldn't be space to write what Jesus did. So when you come before Jesus with corona, hello, somebody. I know of somebody who is so, so close to me who almost died a week ago. But thank God she came out of it. Glory be to God. And when we look back, we're like, that was corona. And she's like, Mike, I'm out of the woods now. And she's out of the woods. We thank God for her life. Now, what I'm saying this morning is that when Jesus was walking on earth, he saw the crippled and he healed the crippled. You see, when you look at the Gospels, they are faith-building scriptures. Jesus healed the nobleman's son who was near death in Capernaum. If you go to John 4, verse 46. Jesus healed a demonic person who was demon-possessed in the synagogue in Capernaum. Mark 1, verse 21. Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, who had a high fever. I don't know, maybe if it was today, it would be corona. But Jesus healed her. Jesus healed the centurion man who was paralyzed. Jesus healed the man who was brought down through the roof by his friends. Jesus healed two blind men. Jesus opened the deaf. Jesus opened the mute that they could speak. What am I saying this morning? There is no sickness that Jesus cannot deal with. Are you facing imminent starvation right now, where money hasn't been coming through? I am reminded of the same Jesus feeding over 5,000 people. He only had a bit of bread and a bit of fish. He gave thanks to the Father, and the food was multiplied. And today I declare over your life that the same Jesus who was concerned about this crowd is concerned about your welfare. He will make a way. I don't know, is it financial crisis? When Jesus was talking to the Pharisees about temple tax, they were asking, they went to Peter, do you pay temple tax? Does your master pay temple tax? But at the end, the Bible says Jesus told Peter, I want you to go to the sea, and the first fish you catch, there will be money in its mouth. It will be enough for us to pay our taxes. And you tell me Jesus won't be able to supply your needs? I want to encourage you this morning to rise up in faith. I don't know, are you experiencing rejection? Have you been betrayed? Have you been denied of what is rightfully yours? I want you to know that we have a high priest who is very sensitive. You see, when Jesus was walking on earth, we see a compassionate Jesus. We see a Jesus who looked over the city, Jerusalem, and he would have compassion over the city. He would mourn over the city. We see Jesus who would look at Mary and Martha crying over the death of their brother, and Jesus' heart would be touched, and the Bible says, and Jesus wept. We see a Jesus who was on his death cross. There he was, nails through his hands, nails through his feet. He looks at his mother, he looks at John, and he says, John, look at your mother. He was still concerned about the welfare of his mother, even though he looked weak on the cross. I want to talk to you today and say, your Jesus is very sensitive to your needs. Sometimes we pray and we forget that he is sensitive to where we are. The Bible says in Hebrews 4, verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, who cannot be touched by our weaknesses, who cannot be touched by our challenges, but was in all points tempted just as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The issue is not about whether he is a merciful God. The issue is not whether he is sensitive to us. The issue is, are we confident enough to approach him? The issue is, do we want to spend time with him? The issue is, can we trust him with our lives? Whatever you're going through today, Jesus can handle. There's absolutely nothing that will surprise heaven when it comes your way. We're surprised, we're shocked, but heaven, never. As we come to the end of this service today, I want to pray for you that your faith might not fail in this season. 1 John 5:4 says, that which is born of God overcomes the world. And this is our victory, even our faith. These coming 5 weeks, we're going to explore these 5 verses in the book of John as we explore our destiny of victory. But today I want to pray for you that your faith might hold. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for each one who is watching today, who's gone through a difficult time and is asking whether tomorrow will happen. Lord, I pray for your grace. I pray for your mercies that you'd reveal yourself, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for your faithfulness, that you are able to sustain each one of them. Why? Because they are born of you. Lord, as this week starts, I pray, Jehovah, that you'd surround them. You'd remind them of your love for them, that they are not alone. I thank you that they are born of you and they will overcome. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. If you are there today, maybe you're saying, I'm not born again. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. Don't miss this opportunity. I want to give you an opportunity to open up your heart. I will lend you some words. Words are just a touch point. But what brings salvation is what happens inside. It's when you have believed that Jesus is Lord. So if you are like that, pray with me and say, Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning. I've heard your word, and I am overwhelmed. I am tired. I cannot do this life. Today I realize that you are for me. And I believe that you died for me. I open my heart to you today. Come into my life. Make me a child of God. Please forgive me of all my sins. Thank you, Lord, for making me your child. From today, I belong to you, and you belong to me. Thank you for saving me. Amen. If you have made that prayer, the Lord has come into your life and he has transformed you. If you want more information, I want you to go onto our website. You'll be able to find a contact page. And on there is a form that you'll be able to write on, and we'll receive an email from you and we will get in touch with you. Otherwise, God bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord preserve you. Stay safe in this coming week. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you. Amen and amen.